Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, history, gossip podcast. I'm Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And we're going to get into the down and dirty for this. I guess this is kind of some lowbrow art. So we're going to get into some extreme tea on this lowbrow art today. Dude. But
I'm so fucking excited.
This is going to be really
You're making this sound like it's just epic.
It's and epic. So it's really good.
But we don't want to get your hopes up. It's not cool. It's not that cool. You'll be presently surprised. Don't worry.
But we got some stuff going on this week. I'm going to be starting my new job tomorrow, which is crazy because I haven't done this in a few years of like going into a new job, meeting people, doing the onboarding stuff. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but I'm also nervous.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Are you
like me?
I feel like I'm like past the age of giving a shit if people like me a little bit. Only because a room of like 9 people have seen my vagina while I'm birthing a baby, and there's really no humiliation after that.
That's true. After that, it's kind of like, I'm here.
This is me.
Well, I also am like, on top of like them liking me, am I going to fucking like you? Am I going to like working with you?
Yeah, that's the big one after, like, in your 30s. What if you're horrible? Are you going to like? What if everybody sucks?
Dude.
Or what if, that's real. Or, like, I'm nervous at this age of, like, learning a new skill, even though I recognize we learn something new every week to do this podcast. But... It doesn't I'm like actually interested in this, but it's like, you know, but you're, this is so cool what you're doing. It's a whole new thing for you.
Yeah.
Tell them what you're doing. So, I don't think anybody knows.
Well, a lot of you guys know that I was an art teacher, and I was an art teacher for this company. I wasn't like working at a school or anything. It was like a specific like private art classes kind of thing. And I hosted a big class for adults. I also taught kids. And then I did a bunch of like admin shit for the company. I was a little bit of everything. I was a substitute teacher for other people's programs.
Right.
And my company, I just felt like they just weren't reciprocating of anything that I needed.
Yeah.
And at some point it's like, oh, you don't value me at all.
Right.
Even though I'm really good at this job.
Right.
And my students, like, they stay because of me.
Right.
And so I quit.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this.
Them.
Like, I've given you 3 years of my life.
Mm.
I'm a millennial.
Right.
So, like, I'm totally fine to quit. I am not going to break my back for a stupid company that doesn't give a shit about me. So, I have this hobby, and it's weird because art should be my hobby, but that's really my like actual work. But my hobby is baking and decorating and cake decorating. So and I'm a total beginner. Like I'm really really beginner.
Amateur hour.
I'm into like simple stuff. Yeah, total amateur hour
but
over here. And
so,
I was like, you know what?
Like, I feel like baking takes so much precision. And that's so you. Like, you're so organized. Right? Like, you're like...
I am organized. That is the thing. We had a amazing chef on, one of our best friends, Angela, on for our Gauguin episode.
Yes,
so check out the Gauguin episode. It's wild.
Yeah.
And she... And I, of course, because she's a chef. She's been a chef for years. And she actually started out in pastry. And I asked her, I'm like, am I stupid? Is this crazy? Am I an idiot to go into like back of house food industry right now in my 30s? And she's like, Dude, you're hella fucking organized. You're gonna love it.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it just makes sense. It's like makes a lot of sense for you to do this.
Yeah. So I got a little job at a cake shop, and yeah, it's going to be a totally new industry for me. And I've worked in the food industry before. I mean, I've been a barista for years. I was a bartender for a few years. I've done dishwashing. I've done prep work. I've done all the things.
Right.
But it's like fucking been a while, you know, since I've been in one of those positions.
You'll be fine. You'll be good.
But it'll be good. I think it will be fun. But it is one of those, if you've ever worked in the food industry, you know that the people around you make or break your job.
Yeah,
of the
true.
People you show the people around you the very, very best of you and the very, very worst of you when you're like in a high stress situation. If you've ever seen that movie Waiters, Waiting.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds.
Is that his name? The cute guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
Dude, it's so funny. The girl, I don't know her name, but the girl with the short brown hair.
The one that shows people her.
She's like, hi, how are you? Of course I can get you extra ranch. And then she goes into the back. She's like, motherfucker, come on. And she freaks out. That's me. That's totally 100% me. I go in the back of the house and I freak out or cry or hide because I've been, you know, I was a bartender for a while, and some of that shit is so fucking stressful.
Yeah.
But also super fun. And when you vibe with your coworkers, it's like, dude, this is my home. Like, these are my people.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
I haven't worked in an environment like that for a while. I've been working in like a classroom/office environment for a while.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
You still have to vibe with your people, but it's more of like on a mental state rather than like, I'm tired.
I think this is going to be like completely different than service, like working in a bakery.
I hope so.
I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing as much customer service, which is good. I know I'll be doing a little bit of customer service, I'm sure, and relations and all that. But mostly it'll probably just be spraying pans and mixing frosting.
Yeah, you'll be fine, dude. This is gonna be so chill for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be like,
I'm excited.
You know.
So if you're in pastry, give me some tips of like, what am I doing? Am I an idiot for going into this?
No.
At not 16, which like most people kind of, I feel like, oh yeah, I've been a baker since I was a kid, you know, and it's like, well,
I feel like we're kind of in this time where everybody knows they're never going to have enough money to live like we should and retire on time, blah, 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 and like the American dream, whatever. So you might as well fucking do what you want to be doing. Like, fuck it, you know? If you can't make enough money teaching, then fuck it. Start something new. Who knows?
Yeah.
And obviously, we're going to get patrons so we can quit our day jobs.
Oh, hello there, you beautiful creature. Looks like you can't get enough of the Baroque Bitches Art History Gossip Podcast. Do you want more juicy tea? Join our Patreon for exclusive access to bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive voting power, digital downloads, fun merch, and more. Become one of us. One of us. By going to patreon.com/BaroqueBPodcast or clicking the link on our website, BaroqueBPodcast.com or clicking the link on our Instagram at Baroque.B.Podcast. Thank you for your support. We couldn't do any of this stuff without you. We love you.
Thank you to all of our patrons. Yes, seriously. Oh my god, thank you guys so much for joining.
Our new patrons. We have bonus episodes up.
Yes. If you want to hear a tale about how I made a bronze penis in college.
Yeah.
And also learn about third gender. We got some bonus episodes on there that are pretty pretty good. Go check them out.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I do a bunch of random shit on there too. So yeah, get in there.
We're also doing a free giveaway for the first 100 people to join our Patreon. And we're sending out surprise things in the mail to each and every one of you. So if you just joined, look out for those.
Put
this
your
week.
Mailing address.
Yeah, and be sure to put your mailing address in the checkout. All right, personal,
yes, we give you
shameless self-promotion over.
Yes. Okay. Well, if you did want to get into
it today. I'm so ready for this.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's visualize. Mom, can I have this Trapper Keeper? Please, it's so cool. Everyone else has it. Tiffany's gonna think I'm lame if I have the plain one. I know Tiffany's a mean bitch, but she's fat with a PH. And her mom gets her everything with the dolphins on it. And come on. I know it's more expensive, but I want it. I won't be cool unless I have it. I need it. Okay. Let me see. I'll do more chores around the house. I'll clean my room. I won't fall asleep in church. I'll get good grades. I'll get even better grades with these supplies. They'll inspire me. I'll do all my homework. I promise. Yes. Oh my God, Mom, you are the bomb. Yes. Thank you so much. I love you. Okay, which one? Hold on, I have to think. If I get the dolphin one, Jessica will think I'm copying her. I like the puppy one. Are puppies cool? No. Puppies are whack. Oh my God. They have the tiger one. Obviously, that's the one. Thank you for buying me Lisa Frank. Our gossip topic, Lisa Frank, it's not all rainbows and unicorns.
Oh. Okay. Da bomb, Mom.
Da bomb. We are going back to our 90s childhood.
Oh my
so
God.
If you were a 90s kid, and you were brought up in the era of Spice Girls, Limited 2, and Lisa Frank.
Yeah.
The creator of the iconic imagery that was plastered all over our school supplies.
Oh my God.
If you didn't have a Lisa Frank notebook or pencils or stickers, you're lame.
Notepads, backpacks.
Lisa Frank's notepad,
backpack, pencil box,
posters,
shirts.
Pencil boxes, those little pouch things
Everything.
That were in your binder. You have to have the matching binder. You have to have a matching folder thing that you put.
It was all over everything.
I had a bunch of those little folders too.
1,000,000%.
Lisa Frank's illustrations consist of hyper colorful animals that are obscenely cute. And little girls and sometimes boys ate this shit up. I do remember being privileged enough to actually own the tiger Trapper Keeper. I thought I was so cool. And it's not just like an illustration of a tiger. It's a tiger with multicolored stripes, big anime eyes, and surrounded by pink and purple palm leaves.
Just so many
colors. So I don't know.
It's like so oversaturated.
So oversaturated.
Everything's like a very similar value.
Yeah. And is this era is super nostalgic for me. Is it nostalgic for you?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I mean, I've got my dime pieces and I've got my bun on top. This was the look from like fucking
the two parts, the
dime
little
pieces,
hairs
the two pieces of hair in the front
of your face
that make you look like an anime character a little bit.
Yeah, with the messy bun.
Oh my God, yes. Butterfly clips. Fucking
butterfly clip.
Those chokers. I was looking for a bandana because I went through the bandana phase. There were so many fashions.
Or it wasn't really a bandana. It was like a triangle.
It was just a triangle.
On a string. Is it just a triangle that you put like on the top of your head when your hair is like kind of greasy?
Oh my God, 1,000,000%. Oh,
bring those back.
Bring those back. They were so hot. And then like limited two. Yeah. Miss limited two.
Limited two. Oh, I remember the smell of that like glitter smell.
Hand sanitizer.
Whatever that smell. But yeah,
makeup
that's
that
the
actually
smell.
Didn't
the, like,
do anything.
Cherry.
Right?
It just put glitter on, like a very sheen glitter.
Yeah.
And I remember putting fucking glitter everywhere, too, all over my body, all over my hair, at the top of my head.
Those little space to put glitter. Bedazzle jewels, crimping your hair. Tanning stickers that you could try and like tan, except for us, we're so like fair.
You know I had that one.
The,
you know,
the Playboy bunny.
Oh,
one.
I did that. Like right on your hip, the little
on
little...
your hip. Hip huggers were huge. Dude, I just, you know, it was
the era.
It was a good day. You know, you're getting out of soccer practice. You had some orange slices there and a Capri Sun. Your mom's like, we got to go back to school shopping. She takes you to Target. You're like, fuck, look at all this shit. Well, you probably
and she's like, but we have, there's all these ones that are a dollar.
Yeah.
You have that.
No.
I'm like, no, but this one has a fucking zebra on it.
I need the ones with cats and like leopard print, heart stars all happening at the same time. It was just like a fucking.
Totally.
If like. I feel like looking at Lisa Frank is like, before I knew what being on drugs felt like, it's like what being on drugs feels like, like what you imagine it to be.
Like I want to live in that
right?
world.
Right? It's just so
And it
much.
Is, it is super nostalgic for me, but I also have like this pit in my stomach because if you didn't have the right stuff or the right clothes or the right hair or the right body,
sure.
Fuck. I know a lot of you out there feel me.
Yeah.
And dude, you can't pay me enough to go back there.
I feel like nobody
that
in
age.
the 90s or 2000s had the right body. Even the ones that had the right body were so fucked up.
They
from
were.
Like they all just, it was so much. Like the cast of Friends is a perfect example. They all weigh like 90 pounds and probably thought they were fat. Like it was a lot.
Yeah. And you're like, but I don't really look like that. And most
right.
people don't. Like most of all of you out there don't. And it was kind of a dark time for many of us, even though if you felt fine during that time, then like amazing. It didn't affect
Good
you. Like
you.
How cool
yeah.
for you. But it was a really dark time for a lot of us. And even though it was like dipped in bright color, like neon and glitter.
Right.
Like,
there were a lot of fun
but it was
things,
it was dark.
But it was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And you might think the creator of this neon fantasy world is just this super sweet lady with just the kindest heart. Well, let's get into it.
Ooh. Let's fucking
Lisa
go.
Frank, real person.
Yeah.
Real person.
Still alive.
Still alive. Okay. Yep. Totally fine. Lisa Frank, ASL. So Lisa Frank was born April 21st, 1955. So it's almost her birthday.
Yeah, happy early birthday.
And yeah, making her a Taurus. Mm. And she is exactly a Taurus. So Taurus are earth signs. They are very involved with their physical surroundings and they love stuff. Yeah, and Lisa Frank happened to make a lot of it. They are patient and stable, but can be stubborn and set in their ways.
Right.
And they work hard for their material success, but are not immune to greed. And greed will be a theme in today's episode.
Oh, God.
So, yes. Yeah, Lisa was born in the extremely affluent town of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Okay.
So she grew up rich, surrounded by rich people. And must be nice. Yeah.
Whoa,
and
cool for you.
Yeah, cool for you.
So happy for you.
So happy. Aw, Lisa.
Awesome.
And I couldn't really get too much information about her early childhood.
Sure.
She is notoriously elusive and secretive about her personal life. Wow. But this is what I gathered. And I couldn't get much info on Mom besides the fact that she was really crafty and made pottery and encouraged Lisa to get into the arts. Cool. And all I got on Dad was that he worked for an automotive company and he was an art collector.
Okay.
Specifically an art collector of pop art.
Okay.
So that early introduction into pop art could have inspired her.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going to think. She doesn't say much about it. Could have inspired her to create her whimsical imagery that you might be able to call pop art of today's generation of the 90s.
Right.
And she was said to be a girly girl. Fucking duh. And was all about femme, pinks, sparkles, fluff, all that good stuff. And we do know that she started gaining success right away, even in high school. So at a senior student art show, Lisa sold thousands of dollars worth of art. And from this show, she received many commissions.
Wow.
And she ended up being able to fund her beginnings in commerce with the money from her commissions. Now, I really tried to find her early work, but I couldn't find it. However, she did say in one of her very few interviews, "At first, I didn't want to do unicorns. Then I thought, wait a minute, this is commercial art. Let's do what's going to sell." And that's how that happened.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, and I just couldn't get anything of like her subject matter that she was doing before her iconic imagery.
I mean, it sounds like it was probably portraits of dogs and shit. Like she was very.
It was probably girly stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's already
if she was
like,
a girly girl.
She's already like, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil. Like, I don't care. I just want to be famous.
She already
unicorns
knows what
sell,
she's doing.
Bitch.
Everyone loves fucking unicorn. Who, if you don't love unicorns, who are
Who's
you?
Who's going to hate on a unicorn? Magical, mystical, beautiful animal.
Yeah.
Well,
beautiful. And Lisa went to college at the University of Arizona as a math student.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was going to study math,
like,
I guess.
I just need to be able to count
still
to
making
how much money I'm going to make.
How much money I'm going to make. Exactly. So she was still making art and crafting, and she decided to venture into business with the motivation of her dad.
Oh.
Well, it was really her dad's decision to cut her off financially and force
Daddy.
Her to make her own money.
Daddy.
Dad. Yeah. So he cut her off and she was like, oh shit, okay. Well, she decided to lean into her artistic talents because that helped her out before.
Yeah.
She was able to make money from her art. So
right.
She's like, fine, I'll get into art. Okay, this is where things are weird. So she decided to buy pottery and jewelry. So she's in Arizona now from Michigan.
Okay.
So she decided to buy pottery and jewelry from indigenous American crafters.
Of course she did.
And sold them herself at a markup.
Oh my God.
So she's already having signs of like being evil.
Oh my God.
And then it's not over. Yeah.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then she started making indigenous inspired jewelry.
No.
Of her own.
No.
And selling them.
Don't
yeah, we
do
love
that.
That.
Ugh.
We don't love
in my
that.
Mouth a
we
little
don't
bit.
Love that.
Ugh.
We don't love that.
I'm so
eventually,
mad.
Yeah, we already, okay, Lisa. Eventually, she did veer away from cultural appropriation, thank God, and made this little plastic jewelry with cute fruit and cartoon designs called Sticky Fingers in 1975. So they're like little charms of little fruits. She would make like Betty Boop earrings and things like that, like super, super cute. And she also got really lucky, or might have had some pretty fancy connections. We don't actually know how she got her jewelry into Neiman Marcus and Bloomingdale's.
Oh my God.
So she's selling
rich.
This. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So she's selling this stuff at, we're not sure. I was trying to figure out, like, how the fuck is she getting this plastic jewelry into Neiman Marcus?
I mean, it's like, it is cheap also looking.
The 70s and 80s. Right. So, I mean, it could be like we were kind of into plastic jewelry. We were totally. Kind of into kitsch back then. So it could have been just that was the style that they were going for.
Yeah.
But if you can like imagine, the only piece that I found from Sticky Fingers was like a little bracelet with charms, little fruit charms. Like cute.
Yeah.
Okay. And people ate this shit up. And later she renamed the company Lisa Frank Incorporated in 1979. And she's only like 20 in her mid 20s at this point.
Wow.
And she started to shift from jewelry to stickers. She's really smart at this move.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, stickers were fucking everything. They were the cool thing, especially bumper stickers.
Mm.
It was kind of like an art movement in itself of the blow up of stickers in the 80s. We just didn't really think about stickers, I think.
Well, I mean, for us, they've always been there.
Yeah, check out our website.
Oh yeah, which we also have stickers.
We have stickers.
I made them with my son. Go check them out.
Her biggest sale being $1 million order from Spencer's Gifts.
Damn.
So I don't know about you, but I fucking lived at Spencer's.
Yeah.
I wanted my room to look like the inside of it with the lava lamps.
Oh my God,
and
that,
the black light poster.
That one lamp that was a circle that you touch it and the electricity goes to your fingers. Love that.
And you're like, whoa.
Big fan.
So good. I'm so such a fan. What's up with the smell in Spencer's too? It's such an iconic smell.
Yeah.
It's like that plastic rubber
smell.
It's
just smell. Like, yeah, it's just all chemicals.
chemical. This
and, like,
just got unpackaged
cool water
smell.
Perfume mixed from the teens that are in there.
Yeah. Like the little like shitty Bath and Body Works perfume.
Yeah.
And if you were feeling rebellious, you would travel to the back of the store where the sex toys were.
Yeah.
I still remember it. Like, let's go look at the dildo. And I remember my favorite Spencer's purchase in the early 2000s was definitely my iconic dangly Playboy Bunny belly button ring.
Oh my God.
I'm bringing that back. I look so cool at that thing with a little crop top.
Oh,
that little
God.
Thing hanging out. I was that girl, you guys. I was there.
My mom wouldn't let me get my belly button pierced. I'm so jealous.
Dude, I know. Thank you, Mom. I thought it was so cool.
So
she's making stickers and selling them at Spencer's. And even though her designs seem childish and simple, the production of them weren't. So Lisa was really sincere about her designs and treated each one as a work of art.
Aww. Well, except no, fuck her. Sorry.
Yeah, she goes in and out of like me liking her and me not liking her in this episode. And this was all before Photoshop, so this was before computers were even considered in the arts. So digital design was not really a thing back then. And each one of her sticker designs took sometimes months to produce.
Oh, wow.
Because she painstakingly airbrushed each design on canvas. So she made a full painting for these stickers and then produced them on mass produced them on stickers.
Wow.
So each one of the designs were actually works of art. And she continued to treat each one of her designs in this way for the rest of her career. And this perseverance and sincere dedication to her craft made her so successful in a very competitive market of sticker production at the time. Because everyone was kind of making stickers and thought they could make a cool sticker. Just
right.
Like kind of like now. I think stickers are still cool.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I put stickers on fucking everything. I love stickers.
I even run into the problem where I'm like, this sticker is so cool. There's nothing permanent enough for me
to put it on.
Yeah.
What do I put this on?
So then,
on this notebook? But I'm going to finish this notebook
at
some point.
Yeah, and then this beautiful sticker is not going to be here. It's like, I'll put it on my computer,
and
obviously.
Yeah. And since her stickers were doing so well, she wanted to capitalize on this trend that she was creating,
sure.
Knowing that the sticker trend could only last so long.
Right.
So she decided to add her designs to notebooks, pencils, overall any school supply she can get her designs on. Backpacks, posters, t-shirts, fucking everything right. had Lisa Frank on it. She knew what people wanted. And she knew that a lot of artists, not a lot of artists have tapped into kids' school supplies.
Right.
And she also knew that kids loved her work and her aesthetic. It was very like kid-like.
Yeah. What's not to like?
Yeah. Of these unicorns and stuff. Of course, kids are going to love it.
Yeah.
And she started making these iconic characters. Some of her first being the painter Panda Bear mm-hmm. and the ballerina Arena Bunny. Oh. To Lisa, each character was based on somebody she knew and had an origin story and a unique personality.
Who was your character?
I like the tigers. And then I remember I also like being, I liking the hummingbird for some reason. I don't know why I like that. I just so vividly remember when I was researching and I saw that hummingbird notebook, I was like, that, I had that. I totally remember having that and loving it. Who was your, did you have like a specific character that you got into?
So what's funny about it is I remember vividly like fucking hating the dolphins and being like mad okay. at the dolphins. Like I remember just being, fuck the fucking dolphins. I loved the cats and I loved the aliens. Do you remember the aliens?
Oh, the aliens were so cool.
I was all about the aliens.
Spacey. I'm cool.
I'm weird.
I believe.
Ancient aliens. Yeah. No, I was totally like, ooh, that's different. I want to be aliens.
I so remember like somebody having the dog one and being like, ugh, the dogs are so basic.
Dogs are so
I was like, normal. It's not even a cool color. It's like golden retriever. Ew. And I so feel that like when somebody says golden retriever energy is the funniest shit to me. I actually feel like I'm the golden retriever energy in my relationship. Like Alex's black cat energy. Oh my God. But yeah, like the golden retrievers were like for the basic ones.
Yeah.
Like, of course you like dogs. Everybody likes dogs.
And I think that's how I felt about dolphins. Dolphins were like everywhere in the millennial, yeah. like in the 90s and in the early 2000s.
We were all surfers. Like, we all were surfers.
But I was like,
I go to the beach every day.
I'm dolphined out. I need something other than dolphins, which now I'm like, dolphins yeah. are cool, whatever, porpoises.
The dolphins are great.
Yeah, nothing against the dolphins.
Actual dolphins are awesome. If you see one in the wild, you're like, dolphin, look, there's dolphins.
Coolest thing, such a cool experience. Of course.
Magical.
Yeah, magical.
But yeah, if they're on, if you have every dolphin thing, you're like, okay, you think you're hot shit with those dolphins.
When you're fucking
if
dolphins.
If you don't get it, I'm so sorry. This must be so confusing to you. But if you do get it, you fucking get it.
You get it.
All right. And yeah, and the detail of these things, the detail so of much these happening. Designs. Yeah, that went into her work. She was like obsessed with making every little thing. That strand of hair on the unicorn
yeah.
has to be the right curl. And in the curl, it turns into a little heart. Oh, perfect.
Oh my God.
So yeah. And the detail that went into her work did not go unnoticed by the masses. So sure. In 1989, the production of her designs was finally able to be computer generated. And then she was really able to fucking explode with a shit ton more designs on every fucking product you could think of.
Yeah.
And her brand was grossing $60 million
annually. That's so wild.
Yeah, from fucking pencils and shit.
Wow.
And Lisa was blowing up so much that she decided to buy a huge office building and warehouse in Tucson, Arizona, where she met this fucking guy.
Oh, no.
And now, yeah. Oh no is right.
What
a designer. An illustrator named James Green, who worked closely with Lisa and rose up the ranks in the company, pretty much fucking his way to the top. Guys can do it too.
Okay, respect, yeah, whatever.
Guys can do it. Lisa and James ended up falling in love and getting married in 1994, and they soon had their two sons, Hunter and Forrest.
Oh my God.
Who actually are those names. Yeah, you know those names.
It's nothing wrong with them, like, individually, but together, Hunter and Forest. That's just, that's silly.
Because we're nature.
Yeah, I get it, Lisa.
And they're actually represented in her brand as the tiger and the leopard cub. So those are, like, her little representations of her kids. So Lisa had this happy, insanely successful family and decided to step down from running her company to spend time with her kids and made James the president and the CEO of the company, giving him 49% of the shares.
No.
And this was the worst thing that Lisa could have done and the start of her company's downfall.
No.
So, so the Lisa Frank headquarters was the hot spot to work in then the then small city of Tucson, Arizona. That was kind of like, wow, this huge company is coming here.
Right.
Let's all work there.
Right.
Of course, it was hugely popular, successful brand, and hired a ton of employees to pump out a ton of designs, market, sell, all the admin stuff, blah, 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 department relations, all that shit.
Right.
And on top of being this successful company, the building was decorated super cute with these giant statues of her cute characters. The outside of the building was decorated in rainbow colors, and anybody would want to work there. Wow. After the company was given to James to control, he fucked it right the fuck up.
Oh, no.
So here's a quote from a former employee. There's going to be a lot of quotes in this one. There's so many. So I cherry picked the good ones. So here's a quote from a former employee. Lisa Frank is notorious in Tucson as the world's shittiest employer.
No.
Okay, guys, here's the fucking tea on why this company was the worst. So while Lisa's away, James will play. Lisa and James had this assistant, Rhonda Rolette. And James, interestingly enough, promoted Rhonda from assistant to vice president of this huge fucking company. Not only that, she was the head of several departments, including payroll. And she was probably not, like, super duper duper qualified for this.
Sure.
Like, I'm no business genius, but you're really going to promote an assistant to upper management. Not only that, but vice president of your multi-million dollar company.
Oh, God.
Why? Well, many employees noticed that James and Rhonda seemed very
friendly.
Close.
Oh, my God.
And rumors were flying around that they were having an affair. That's called vagmatize.
That's called, yeah, dude, that's so
James
fucked.
Was vagmatize. Yep, yep. All behind, all while Lisa is at home taking care of her kids. So not only that, rumors were also flying around that James and Rhonda were allegedly participating in cocaine.
Oh, yay.
Allegedly. Allegedly, all of this is alleged. One employee stating, James and Rhonda were pretty big into coke. There would be days when James would come down to the art department super sweaty and super paranoid and just like walking really fast back and forth through the design area. And there was nothing to be stressed out about. It was just a regular day.
Oh my
so
God.
Can you imagine doing coke in your office of this super cute pink and sparkly decorated building and feeling like the rainbow king and the ruler of your Candyland palace? And this is where things get really weird with the morale of the office. So here's another fucking juicy quote from a former employee about what James would make another coworker do. She told me that James regularly sent her with an unmarked box or paper bag to meet someone at a gas station or a parking lot.
Oh, my God.
She was supposed to exchange her package for theirs and not look inside. He also had her buy his Viagra and his porn.
Oh, my God. Holy and that,
yeah,
shit.
An employee is doing this. Yeah,
that is
an
employee. Next
James made
level.
An employee do this.
So yeah. Basically, that's like committing a fucking felony, right?
Oh, he was doing a shit ton of illegal.
But he's like asking his employee to pick up fucking drugs.
To pick up his drugs. Yeah, to pick up his drugs and his porn. Woo, there are literally hundreds of accounts of James acting like a fucking dictator and demanding huge amount of work from his employees. He is the coked out fucking king of the castle here. For example, an employee had to leave early because of something to do with their kid. James heard about this, freaked out so hard that he locked the building so the employees could not escape.
Oh my God.
That's really necessary for panda bear backpacks.
Fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. He freaked out so hard that somebody left a little bit early because the kid had something, a doctor something. It was something like necessary. I'm like, sorry, dude, I gotta leave.
Well, even if it's not necessary, you should just let people leave.
Why are you locking them in, dude? That's not safe, too. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, I thought I didn't like my boss, but that's like.
Yeah, everyone's gonna be like, God, my work area is not that bad. There's so much more.
Oh my God.
The tea is so hot. Apparently his office would overlook the rest of the staff's offices and he would look down on his kingdom and shout at employees to work harder and faster. So here's another good quote from a former employee. It was the silliest setup I've ever seen. Of course, from the outside, it's colorful. You've got the rainbow hearts on the building, the statue of the panda. And inside was like an abusive alcoholic home. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. Some other things that James did to his employees. He would wrongfully fire them for little things. He would discourage the employees from speaking to each other and work in silence. He would illegally record phone calls.
Oh, my God.
Because he was that paranoid. And he sent out a bi-monthly newsletter informing his staff how to behave and how to interact with their boss. Basically, like, making it seem like they were always going to be fired. Like, every day they feared being fired.
God, yeah. That's so
intense. A former graphic designer stated, there was just this air of fear in there. It just seemed very clear, the mentality of it. Keep it ice cold, keep people miserable and on edge. And it was just insane, totally insane. So that was from a graphic designer. So with all this workplace abuse, and of course there would be huge turnovers with employees.
Sure.
However, as hard as it was to work for Elisa Frank Incorporated, it was equally as hard to leave. The company would fail to give appropriate severance packages, fought with benefits, including 401k, and many employees felt the need to sue to receive their final paychecks.
Wow.
So it was just like, it would be a situation where they're like, okay, I need my information for my 401k for my next employer. And they're like, oh, right. We didn't file that paperwork. Sorry. And so you're like, you weren't putting money into my 401k? Oh, okay. So people not getting health benefits, people not getting their final paychecks, of having to fight to get their money so they can fucking finally leave that situation.
God.
It was like just as shit was all going around town of right. Like, well, if you leave, you know it's going to be really hard for you to leave.
Right.
So people are like, shit. A former employee stated it was a revolving door. The creative department may have changed over at least two or three times in 4 years. It was unbelievable. 1 year, almost a third of the entire staff turned over.
Yeah.
Another employee stated over 80 people walked out of the door without notice because they had been treated so poorly. Okay, there's some fun stuff in here. So there are so many examples of James's horrible attitude, and many alluded to James having a Napoleon complex. And we're all for short kings here.
Yeah.
But we are not for Napoleon complexes.
Oh, we love so a let me shorty, give you, shorty king. But listen.
We love a short king, but don't be doing shit like this.
No.
So he had so much of a short man's complex that female employees that worked directly with James were prohibited from wearing heels.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He would also often degrade women at the office. Well, I mean, obviously.
Yeah. This guy sounds...
We know this guy.
It sounds like him and Thomas Kincaid would be, like, really good friends.
Buds. Yeah.
Buddies.
So, apparently, there was one instance where there was a woman that worked there that apparently James just didn't find attractive, and he referred to her as that guy.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
What a dick. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's giving
there are
like
countless discrepancies.
God, he's giving like just such bad energy. I can't wait to see what person at the party is. Oh my God.
James. Oh, that's a good one. So there's countless discrepancies with this fucking asshole. Yeah. And it wasn't just James. The few times that Lisa would show up to the office, she too would be abusive to staff.
Ugh.
And some say allegedly she also participated in what James was also participating in.
So she was allegedly. Doing coke too.
She was doing coke too. Allegedly.
It's a rumor.
Yeah. Please don't sue me, Lisa. I know you would.
Yeah, but you were doing cocaine. Lisa was in the bathroom.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Lisa was said to scream at sales managers and allegedly threaten their lives. So she did allegedly threaten some sales managers' lives.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, sales managers, the people that are making you money.
Right.
Don't scream at the sales staff, mm-mm. dude. Like, they're making your money. You don't want them to go.
Same as, like, do not, not scream at at the people that feed you. Just don't.
Exactly. Because
yeah. We can tell you from personal experience, people will spit in your food.
Or it would be a situation where, like, I used to work at this restaurant that shall not be named. Mm-hmm. And, like, something would fall on the ground. And then a chef would be like, were they nice to you when they ordered this? And I'd be like, not particularly. And I'd be like, oh,
no.
Okay. You saw nothing. I was like, I saw nothing. You know, things like that. I've never seen anyone actually spit, but things like that would happen. Was this person friendly and nice to you?
Don't fuck with the people that serve your food. And don't fuck with your sales managers.
Not only were they fighting with the people making their money, both James and Lisa were also big spenders.
Of course
they were. They would buy designer clothes, luxury cars, a huge neon mansion
that
the neighbors weren't that fond of. Their neighbors calling it a nouveau riche monstrosity of a house and a fucking private jet.
Ugh. Yeah. PJ.
A fucking jet. Even most multimillionaires know that a jet is a horrible investment.
Right.
It's so much money down the drain for maintenance and staff and all the expenses.
Right.
Like, really, Lisa? You sell need backpacks. Do you need a jet? For what? So there was, of course, all this constant tension in the office while the brand was still increasing in popularity. So much so that there was an offer to do TV shows and movies and all this stuff with her characters.
Right.
But she kept being like, you know, James kept being, oh, I could do that myself. I don't need you, Disney. I can do that myself.
No.
Okay. And of course, not only were there tension between Lisa and James and the rest of the staff,
right.
Lisa was starting to get wind of the relationships between James and Rhonda.
Rhonda.
I remember Rhonda is basically his mistress. Yeah. Allegedly. Lisa ended up filing for divorce in 2005. So not only was Lisa divorcing James for the relationship with Rhonda, she was also facing a lot of verbal abuse at home with James. And the affair was kind of like, okay, this is the last straw.
Yeah.
This is my way out.
Right.
We're getting a divorce.
Right.
I know you're fucking her. However, she knew that divorcing this asshole would be a journey and a half, and she was not wrong. Remember that whole, like, 49%, 51%?
Right.
So James still James still owned 49% of the shares of this company. So Lisa wanted to take her company back,
right,
and became more active in the office while still having James act as a partner, because she knew if she took everything away from him, he would sue her pants off. I mean, he does anyway. But she was trying to figure out the best way to get out of the mess while she was in the midst of a divorce.
Right.
So she's like, what's the quietest way that I could do this? Just get my company back. I'm hearing so many horror stories, even though she was not great either.
Right.
But she's probably better than James at this point.
One can only hope. So, I mean, she doesn't sound better if she's like, you know, doing cultural appropriation, threatening the lives
and
of
just
humans,
being that girl.
And also naming her kids Hunter and Forrest. Like, you could have gone like a little branch out, do a Tyler in there. You had to be Hunter and Forrest.
Hunter and Forrest.
So stupid.
She stepped back into the office while James and fucking Rhonda were still there, making the work environment even more of a fucking nightmare.
God.
So here's a fun quote from a court record, because the lawsuits just pour in. James and Rhonda put pressure on people to pick a side. Either you pick Lisa or you pick James. James was telling people in the company, if the company splits up, he's going to start his own company. He was trying to recruit people to go with him, so that way, if Lisa did get the company, she would have nobody to help her. So,
but that's like ridiculous.
There's just shadiness.
He's horrible. Like,
he's,
who the fuck
who's
would
gonna go with you?
Who,
nobody's
why?
Gonna work for you, dude.
Like, I don't want to get your cocaine anymore.
I'm gonna work for Lisa Frank. If I'm, I don't want to get your coke anymore. So things got so weird that Lisa filed a civil suit to basically fire James.
Yeah.
Okay, this is insane. And I'm not good with law and like business stuff. So bear with me. I might be too stupid for this. So I'll try to explain it. So basically, in order to fire him, I'm like, why can't we just get rid of him? In order to fire him, he had to attend this shareholders meeting. So she, since she owned 51% and James 49%, so she could elect a new board of directors and essentially fire James.
Right.
James was able to avoid this meeting for like months and months and months. Like, how? I think he was able to avoid this because Lisa did serve him a temporary restraining order to keep him away from the business and staff.
Mm.
I don't know why you just can't get rid of him. It's weird legal stuff because he owned a lot of the company. And she couldn't get rid of him. Like, James would be in the fucking building and avoiding Lisa on the other side of the building. And he just refused to leave. Like, he just refused to leave the business. Eventually, because she had this restraining order, Lisa came to the office with police and escorted both James and Rhonda off the property, never to return again. Well, they did return, stealing a shit ton of product, allegedly. And selling it to outside vendors.
My God. So, that's so fucking
let
wild.
Let the lawsuits begin.
Can you just imagine, like, grabbing a bunch of backpacks and notepads and you're like, I'm going to sell this on the black market. No,
like,
worries.
Millions of dollars of stock.
Oh, my
was
God.
Stolen. Allegedly.
No, it happened.
There was a lawsuit in this.
Well,
and now the lawsuits really begin. So instead of Lisa getting her company back and expanding the brand into all the potential deals she could have made, including that TV show, that movie, a clothing line, and a fucking theme park. She had to fight so many lawsuits, so
right.
She couldn't really focus on expanding her brand anymore.
Right.
And I'm not going to get into all of them,
right,
but I'll name them, and you get the idea. Lisa Frank versus James Green. James Green versus Lisa Frank. Rhonda Rollette versus Lisa Frank. Lisa Frank versus James Green and Jerry Rollette. Oh, yeah. Rhonda's fucking husband.
Oh, no.
She was married. James Green versus Lisa Frank again. This one is about the jet. Green Bean Investments LLC versus Lisa Frank. Jerry Rollette versus Lisa Frank. James Green versus Lisa Frank. This one is where James was trying to get their sons to give consent to take action against Lisa Frank's company again.
No.
Yeah. His then 9 and 13-year-old sons. So fucking dick. Dude. Oh my God. Like, I'm gonna sue your mom and I need your consent.
What? These are just horrible people.
Horrible. Yeah. And many of these silly lawsuits that James filed were dismissed. And Lisa spent 8 fucking years trying to finally win control of her company, which was, of course, hurt severely over this almost decade-long dispute, along with their horrible reputation as a workplace.
Right.
She did, however, end up having a little bit of a comeback in 2012 after winning back her company with Urban Outfitters. If you don't know, Urban Outfitters is like a funky clothing brand that relishes in vintage-inspired clothing. Mm-hmm. The apparel did okay, proving that we still all love the designs. Like, we still love the unicorn. Right. Like, we like it. Well, we want shirts with that on point, there.
Right?
It is. In 2012, yeah, most of the people, and Urban Outfitters is more geared towards girls in their 20s.
Yeah.
And like teenagers and stuff. So at this point, we would have grown and saw, oh, I remember that's the panda that I liked. I can buy a shirt at it now at Urban Outfitters and it'll it's be like ironic. Funky and cute.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like very bright cheetah print, that kind of thing of like, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to be quirky and buy this.
Right.
Yeah. So we still love the designs and she's still selling products. So you can check out her website. She's got deals with lots of brands, including Loungefly, Crocs, Casetify, and Hot Topic. So you can still buy her iconic designs.
Sure.
And for James... Well, he's a Christian now.
Oh, of course.
It's so fucking appropriate. And I actually checked out his Instagram where he claims to have started the Lisa Frank company himself.
Oh, my God.
And claims all of her designs and creates apparel that looks like basically Lisa Frank knockoffs.
Oh, my God. I hate him so much. Oh, my God, my head's going to explode.
He has, like, no followers. Yeah, he has no followers, and yeah, there's still like comments.
Nobody gives a shit about you, James. No one cares, James.
Nobody likes you.
No one likes you. Go away.
And there are comments on. I checked out his Instagram. There are comments on his stuff saying like, "You're not the. We know you're not the founder of Lisa Frank, dude. Like, we know all of your drama.
Is your the name? Like, is your name the name of the company? Like, come on.
Yeah." It's Lisa Frank Incorporated.
This is Lisa
bitch.
Frank, bitch. So,
fuck you, James. That's fuck basically you, James. The conclusion of this episode is fuck you, James.
Fuck James Green.
So, fuck him. Yeah, and he still like tries to make t-shirts and stuff with like the illusion of the unicorn kind of thing, like his own version of it, like a knockoff of the unicorn and like puppies and stuff. What an asshole. And then, of course, he backs it up by, with, like, Christian values.
Ugh, of course. Please.
Oh!
I hate him so much. Guy I hate both party. Of them, but I, like, really hate him.
Yeah.
God.
I really hate James. Yeah, no, James is bad. Lisa is a cutthroat business person, and she's made some really bad decisions, but James fucking sucks so hard, dude. Guy at the party. So since this episode, yeah, which much more about the company than Lisa Frank herself, because again, she's herself, she's very secretive. And the only things that I was able to gather were basically like employees and accounts on her. So I wanted to compare the Lisa Frank Incorporated to another notorious company and employer that we all know and love, Victoria's Secret. So I feel like as kids and then teens, we went from Lisa Frank to Victoria's Secret. I had so much of that fucking pink shit that was actually like shit quality. I don't know. Yeah, I was so obsessed with
so
it.
So bad. But
yeah, I think you can gather what kind of chick I was in high school. From buying like funky shit at Spencer's to, oh, fuck, I need to be hot now. So let's go to Victoria's Secret. right across the aisle at the mall. So I think, too, Lisa Frank, even though she's a real person, was kind of this persona of, like, this decadent beauty and femme and cuteness to the exact thing that Victoria's Secret, and there's no Victoria, it's like a gross old dude.
Right.
But instead of cute, sexy. And if you ever worked at Victoria's Secret, either as a retail worker, which I know a lot of you BBs might have, or as a model, as an employer, well, they fucking sucked. Let's just say Les Wexner, sounds like a fucking comic book villain, the owner of Victoria's Secret, was good friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh my god.
So that is our beloved Lisa Frank. At least you can still buy her stuff if you really want her stuff. There is some cute stuff on her website, but
Is it ruined now? Just knowing how horrible she is. This entire time was under the impression that it was like a very nice lady making this stuff. And she's fun and she's funky and she wears quirky glasses. But looking at pictures of her, she just looks like she's from Connecticut. She's that uppity, stick up her ass sort of lady who's a total cunty and goes to like church or something.
And not only was I looking up quotes from her employers, I was also looking up quotes from like contractors and stuff, because they had this like huge mansion. And a lot of them say like, we weren't able to look her in the eye, like that kind of thing of like J-Lo energy.
Right.
Of like, bitch, he's just trying to fix your fucking toilet, dude. Tell him what to do. Like, tell him where to go. You can look him in the eye.
Right.
He's a human being. But, like, no, she's so famous and so, like, you can't look at me. You're a peasant. That.
Listen, Lisa, you did have a big part in, like, my elementary school, maybe, like, 30 minutes of my day because I carried around the folder, but you're not that big of a fucking deal, okay?
You're not that big of a deal. You made some fucking notebooks and backpacks.
Good
you're
for you.
Fucking president.
Whatever. Like-
So that's Lisa Frank. So I hope you learned something weird today.
Yeah, that one was
about Lisa Frank.
Sorry if we ruined your childhood.
Yeah. Sorry if we ruined your childhood.
Good one.
Look at our Patreon. We got stuff on there.
Listen, we are on Instagram, baroque.b.podcast.
Baroque.b.podcast.
We have, go on our website, buy some stickers, baroque.b.podcast.
We got stickers. We make stickers.
Baroque.b.podcast.
And we're not a billion-dollar company.
No, we're not a billion-dollar company. We treat each other, our only two employees, well.
Our only employee. Yeah, and no, I'm not like screaming at Raquel to go like buy my drugs and porn.
Sometimes she is, maybe. I'm just kidding. That was a different time.
Okay. Go to these coordinates. It's going to look weird. It's going to look weird, but it's fine. Don't open the package. Don't, for whatever you do.
Don't look me in the eye. Quit looking me in the eye.
I'm the creator.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, my God.
Well, listen.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Touch it in.